The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nothing perfect or considered, but we're so damn good. It's the story of your life.
Morning, Glory America. Frog in my throat there. So good to have you with us this morning on this Tuesday. Sarah Huckabee, wherever you are, well done. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to run for and be elected governor of Arkansas. I may have to move the show to Arkansas. We like Sarah a lot. She's a great American. She's going to win that race easily. Now, the bad news of yesterday was that Rob Portman of Ohio, I've often been asked on national television, what kind of a Republican are you? Because the party's pretty big. It goes from left to right. You know, we've got our liberal wing and we've got our conservative wing and we got mostly Republicans in the middle. And I always tell people, I'm a Rob Portman Republican. And they take away from that whatever they want. But it's really about deportment and attitude and just the idea that you don't have to be a complete jerk to get anything done. He's been so effective for so long that I've always admired Rob Portman. And I've got his $5 bill over my studio. Not in this one, in the other one. And because he's a Bengals fan, so there is that going against him. So I lose no money to him. He loses money to me, so that's important. But Rob was the perfect senator. Rob Portman is the perfect senator, and he's done. He's quitting. Now, he's about had it with D.C. He's got to go two more years. And there isn't going to be a 60-vote Republican majority anytime soon. So big sweeping changes are not going to happen. Time to get out of the way. Well, this turns into overnight. We've got Congressman Mike Turner from Dayton. Good guy. Case lawyer. Steve Stivers, good guy. Ohio National Guard general, so we have to call him General Stivers. David Joyce, Geauga County, good guy. My old stomping grounds when I wasn't in Warren, I was up in Ashtabula in Geauga. Brad Westrup, another good guy. He only went to St. X's. We won't hold that against him. Colonel in the Army Reserve. You know, the guy who should run is president of Youngstown University, Jim Tressel, but he doesn't want to run. Because you're not allowed to vote against Jim Tressel in Ohio. I think everybody knows that. If Jim Tressel runs, he's the senator because you're not allowed to vote against him. Jim Jordan, of course, friend of the show. I've campaigned with Jim. He'd have the MAGA vote. And then there's J.D. Vance. Now, if you made me pick today, I would pick J.D. Vance. The good news is I'm not picking. Ohio's picking. Now, I might move back to Warren and run. I mean, I should do that. I should just go back to Warren. Then it would be an all-Warren-Niles race because Tim Ryan is going to be the Democrat. I mean, if Tim's going to get redistricted out of existence. And so he's got to get out. The unfortunate part is Biden won. Now, if Tim was running in the off year of Trump's sixth year, he could have walked in. But he's going to be running in 2022 when the first off year of a new president is like, it's a massacre for the Democrats. And it's the first year of redistricting. So he's going to get massacred in his House seat, and he's going to get massacred if he runs in Ohio. So I don't know what Tim's going to do. They're all friends of mine. Like, I know all these people. They've all been on this show. But I guess I would have to say, if Tressel just decides not to come down from the mountain and run, and Urban Meyer could have run, too. Urban would have won, too. In fact, he would have beaten Jim Tressel because it would have been first not allowed to vote for Urban and then not allowed to vote for anyone but Urban. And then Tressel, but Urban's gone off to Jacksonville to turn Trevor Lawrence into the new Jim Brady. So Ohio is really screwed. We got 25 different people to run in Ohio. I'm curious. Open the phones, 1-800-520-1234. My hometown market I consider to be 1420 in Cleveland, even though I live between the coasts, mostly in Virginia, sometimes in California when it's cold in Virginia, and I don't want to put up with that. I come out to California for a while, but I'm a Virginian. And I'm just curious, you Cleveland people, I haven't seen a groundswell for Bob France yet, and that's because he supported Sam Darnold in the draft instead of Baker. We could have Baker run. If Baker ran, Baker would win. Kevin Stefanski could probably win. I don't know, Cleveland. Who you're for? 1-800-520-1234. Bill Johnson, good congressman. No, Governor Kasich cannot win. That's a joke. People are sending me notes. No, that's not going to happen either. There are a lot of people. Now, look, we could get Dolph to come back. Dolph Ziggler. Do you know him, Dwayne?
I'm sorry. Were you talking about anything in the news?
I was talking about the great state of Ohio and the fact that Rob Portman has retired.
I know Portman retired. That's about a minute story.
No. That's like the center of the world. Do you know who Dolph Ziggler is?
I don't. Not even God knows who Dolph Lundgren is.
Not Dolph Lundgren. Dolph Ziggler. You don't know who Dolph Ziggler is?
I have no idea.
He is a remarkable WWE presence. That's why I thought you might know who Dolph Ziggler was.
Is he so what? He's going to go in and do a throwdown on.
He could take everyone in there. He could throw Brad JD Vance to the ground. Brad Winstrip is a general. He'd throw him around. So Dolph could run. He's from Cleveland. He's a Browns fan. He's friends of Mary Catherine Hammond and Guy Benson too. But Dolph lives in Miami, so he has to come home too. Marsha in Cleveland. Who do you want, Marsha?
Everybody that leaves Ohio.
Go away. Marsha, who do you want? Marsha, you're on the air. Is she? Just put her on. She's from Cleveland, so she's safe. Hey, Marsha. This is the trouble with talking to Cleveland people at 6 o'clock in the morning. They fall asleep on the phone. She went away. Either that or she's on a cell phone. And there's not much. There are places in Cleveland when there isn't a lot of reception, like at Case Western. They don't have electricity there. They only study at the daylight during Case Western. And in Howland High School, they only have daylight hours at Howland High School. They don't have any sports at Howland High School because of that. 1-800-520-1234. Lots of people. But that was not good for the Republicans. The good news is, yesterday, Kristen Sinema came out and said, as did Joe Manchin, we're not changing the filibuster. So they're able to organize the Senate. Now Mitch said, okay, fine. I got two commitments. I don't have to worry about it. Lucy. Hey, Lucy, what do you think?
I'm a Jim Jordan fan all the way. I mean, a lot of good names up there, but I really like Jim as a fighter.
Well, Jim is a fighter, but I don't think he's going to run.
Oh, you know, I would love to see him run. I mean,
he's a fighter, but I don't think he's going to run.
Stand up.
He does, but I don't think he's going to run. And the reason is because a lot of people don't like him. A lot of people like you and me like him, but we'll see. We'll see. Anybody else? You got a number two?
You know,
you're obliged. You have to vote for Tressel if he runs.
Yes, I know the rules.
As you know the rules. Ohio people know the rules. There's really not a choice. If Tressel runs, Tressel wins. So,
yeah.
Okay, Linda. Hey. Let me talk to Lucy. She's back. I mean, Linda's back. Hey, Linda.
Yes, Linda's back with you.
Wait, what happened in the last time you drive into the lake? What was the problem?
No, he thought I was Marsha.
Well, okay. So you wouldn't answer to Marsha? A lot of people say you answer to Marsha in the right place at the right time, but go ahead.
Well, I'm really sad to see Portman go, for one thing. It's just really sad when I heard that yesterday. And I would go Urban.
Now, Urban's gone. Urban went to Jacksonville. He can't dump Jacksonville. He waited. He jumped too soon. But he's gone now. And Tressel, you'll vote for Tressel, right, if he runs.
Okay. But also, I live in Marsha Fudge's district. And I'm so glad that she's gone. And I'm hoping that we get a good Republican in.
Well, the redistricting map of Ohio is going to be good fun. I think both Marsha and Tim Ryan are living on life support right now. And Tim's my buddy. I like Tim. But, you know, sometimes you got to tell your friend it's time to pack. So I think he's going to run. I think he's going to be the Democratic nominee. Doesn't have a chance. But go for it, Tim. Do Kennedy High School proud. 1-800-520-1234. I'll do the rundown when we come back. America, don't go anywhere. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. CDC says we're up to 22.7 million Americans have gotten their first jab. So the COVID-19 vaccines are rolling out across the country at about 1 million a day. President Biden says he'd like to get that to 1.5 million. So would I. Godspeed on that. That's really a state issue. And they're figuring it out. The lockdowns have been lifted in California, so the coast isn't clear anywhere, but it's opening up a little bit. Time to bring you the market look back and look forward. Brought to you by Birch Gold. Go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747 if you want to find out everything you need to know about getting diversified. Hugh Hewitt believes that inflation is going to come sooner rather than later because we've printed a lot of money. But the 10-year Treasury is only at 1.04%, a very low, low, low interest rates right now. But gold is at 1851, hanging around the 1850 mark, waiting to see whether or not the money accelerates that's been printed and distributed via checks and all sorts of different windows at the Federal Reserve, a lot of different money sloshing around the United States and the world. When it accelerates, will gold skyrocket? It will never crush. I mean, it will never crash to zero. And therefore, it remains sort of the 10 to 25% of your portfolio that you always want to have against rainy day. Many people, including yours truly, buy gold in American Eagles or Canadian Maple Leafs and just put it in the safety deposit box and forget about it. Birch Gold can do that for you. Others want to, they don't want to hold it. They just want it in their retirement account so they don't have to pay taxes on it when they turn it in. They want it to be cashed out later, 20 years from now. So they roll over a portion of their retirement via Birch Gold. Again, just go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Yesterday was kind of a blah day. The Dow went down 0.12%. The S&P went up 0.36%. NASDAQ went up 0.69%. You know, the only stock I have is Amazon. It went up 1.75 yesterday. Not not much going on yesterday. People waiting to see whether the Senate would get organized. It is now organized. That's good news. But overseas today, they're having a good day in Germany and England, which always matters early in the day. I don't know what's going to happen in the U.S. They never, you can't tell this early in the day. All you can tell is eventually inflation is coming. I tell you that every day. And I remind you of Birch Gold. And I remind you to go to HughGold.com. Let's give a listen, if we can, to President Biden. Had his first press conference yesterday. Very first number one press conference. In his number one press conference, he pre-selected everyone who he was going to talk to. No more Don Trump talking to everybody on the line, taking whatever comes. And he said, cut number one, how we will get out of this. Cut number one.
Oh, no, I think it'll be this spring. I think we'll be able to do that this spring. And but it's going to be a logistical challenge that exceeds anything we've ever tried in this country. But I think we can do that. I feel confident that by summer, we're going to be well on our way to heading toward herd immunity and increasing the access for people who aren't on the first on the list, all the way going down to children and how we deal with that. But I feel good about where we're going, and I think we can get it done.
Now, the thing is, we're not going to give the vaccine to children unless they develop a vaccine, children safe vaccine. So I think this president, like the last president, is not very good on the details of the rollout. He also, though, he had this to say about any potential vaccine shortage, because this is actually Jen Psaki, because it's all about the unity. Cut number six.
Well, our team is working right now. We've been here for 5 days to evaluate the supply so that we can release the maximum amount while also ensuring that everyone can get the second dose on the FDA recommended schedule. So the confusion around this issue, which we acknowledge there is some confusion, is speaks to a larger problem, which is what we're inheriting from the prior administration, which is much worse than we could have imagined.
Because so it's all about the unity. You're inheriting three vaccines. I'm including Johnson & Johnson in that. At least two. And 21 million people have been vaccinated. So it's all about the unity with the Biden folks. Don't go anywhere. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Coming back with Colonel Kurt Schlichter next. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Kurt Schlichter's in the house. Colonel Kurt, joining us by phone, has decided to get up early because he's a little bit upset with a salon writer, as I was, who wanted to become a big investigative journalist overnight and break a story that wasn't true, that Tom Cotton wasn't a Ranger. So, Kurt, where are we on this story after 3 days of carpet bombing the poor salon wannabe investigative journalist?
Well, hi, Hugh. Thanks for having me back. And it's always nice to hear you in normal speed, because I usually listen to your podcast on double speed.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I feel very much like the salon guy who not the swiftest dude. I found the whole thing stunning, not least because it made me realize that salons still existed.
That's it. That was a surprise to me as well. I had thought it had gone the way of Gawker and had vanished into the great metadata collection point somewhere in the sky.
Yeah, it was, but of course it did rear its ugly head with perhaps the cheesiest slander I've heard in a long time. I mean, I think General Nixon yesterday characterized it very, very well when he described this argument as something you might have over beers at an officer club. You know, a couple of captains. Ah, you're not really a Ranger. You weren't in the battalions. Well, yeah, I am. Clinking their glasses, and if somebody took it seriously, everybody just kind of look at him like he was absolutely insane.
Now, you used the term over the weekend, Blue Falcon. Would you explain what a Blue Falcon is?
Well, Hugh, I know Salem's FCC compliance tendencies. I'm not going to explain what Blue Falcon means.
Okay.
And go Google that, but it's not a term of endearment. It is a term for someone who stabs someone in the back. So
is Dwayne a Blue Falcon?
No, Dwayne.
No,
is not
okay.
A Blue
just
Falcon.
Just checking.
He's,
it's not about competence.
Color Falcon.
Okay, it's not about competence. Okay.
No, he's a raptor who soars, but in a much different
direction from the prey often. So let's go back to the facts of this. Tom Cotton is a Ranger because he went to Ranger School, and as General Nixon pointed out yesterday, something I did not know. Ranger School existed prior to the establishment of the 75th Ranger Regiment or the battalions, which is dispositive of the question of are you a Ranger if you graduate from Ranger School, the answer to which is yes. I saw the poor, beaten-up journalist, rather than simply acknowledge he made a mistake, said, oh, the narrative has shifted to who's a Ranger.
Nothing shifted. He was always wrong. Now, I want to make it clear. I am not a Ranger. I did not go to Ranger School, and I did not serve in the battalions. I was among the least special forces ever. I was just normal forces. But being a Ranger is a very special thing. And Rangers are it's true. There's a legacy in the Army. The Rangers have a long and storied history of fighting on the frontier, fighting in World War II. They're the guys who took Point de Hoque. The Ranger School, which is a leadership school that teaches intensive patrolling for about 7, 8, 9 weeks. The exact time period has changed over the years, is one that one of the best schools out there. And if you endure Ranger School, you're something special, and you deserve the term Ranger. You wear a tab on your over your unit insignia on your shoulder, and it's a true honor. Now, I actually Saturday morning I called my battalion commander, former battalion commander, the guy who I was with during the Los Angeles riots in his vehicle, and he has a Ranger tab, and I said, sir, I'm sorry to inform you, and my condolences, that you're no longer a Ranger. That discussion went poorly. At times, although technically we both retired at the same rank, I probably should have led with, this is sarcasm.
Yeah, you're no longer a Ranger.
Yeah, they don't take it well, nor should they. And the idea of some cheesy civilian looking for some way to slander Tom Cotton, there are plenty. If you don't like Tom Cotton's politics, that's fine. If you don't like Tom Cotton personally, that's great too. Heck, I hate almost everybody. But don't lie about people, especially people who've met a standard you can't even begin to approach.
Well, this is now.
This guy did.
Now, here's my question to you on motive that we do not know, but we're both lawyers, and motive is often involved. Do you think he is a dumb civilian, like I often am? For example, on Semper Fi days, when we raise money for the Injured Marine Semper Fi Fund and America's Fund, I get thrown a dozen different varieties of sergeant as guest, and I screw them all up because, you know, the Army and the Air Force and the Marines can't have one set of sergeants. They got to have three sets of sergeants.
And then
the Navy have got chiefs and senior chiefs and chiefs who want to be senior. It's all not very easy. And then the Marine Corps, which is in the Navy, or not, I'm sorry, I got in trouble. The Marine Corps, which is a sea service that is in the Department of the Navy, but is not in the Navy, uses rank, which are like those in the Army, whereas the Navy uses rank, which is unique to the Navy, and the Air Force uses the Army rank. So a poor civilian like me screws it up all the time. Do you think he made a civilian mistake that is usually overlooked because gentlemen and officers and gentle ladies and officers don't embarrass their journalist hosts? Or do you think he intentionally maligned Cotton?
Well, I think he probably look, if you make a mistake in good faith, no one cares. No one cares. You know, we're military guys. We don't expect civilians to get all our weird, intricate idiosyncrasies. Heck, you know, half the time I'm going to be wrong about naval rank. No one cares, as long as you're in good faith. And if he had said, hey, what's the deal with this? This guy, you know, I have this source who says Tom Cotton's not really a Ranger. Well, let me explain what a Ranger is. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I have to look for some other dirt on this guy. Fine. But no, he doubled down on stupid.
That's it. He did get stuck on stupid because he came at me on Twitter. I refused to recognize the fellow because nobody knows who he is. And the story got a lot of legs because, of course, the left wants to smear Cotton, which I want to get to as to their motive. But he never retracted. Instead, he said, oh, I see the story narrative has changed, which is a way of saying I was wrong. But and all these other journalists are writing something other than what I wrote. That's because the narrative changed.
Yeah, I find the whole these excuses these media guys use fascinating. They're never wrong. The narrative has changed, right? It is as if this somehow this outside force has come and intervened. I guess in the sense that the truth has come and interfered with their story. Yeah. I guess I can see how that'd be a problem. But you know, I don't want to over romanticize journalists, but I do believe that at one time they attempted, at least sometimes, to tell something remotely like the truth.
Okay, so let me ask you this. There are two big questions here. One, if there's a recall in California, are you going to run for governor?
I don't want to take the cut in either pay or prestige.
So that's a no?
That's a no.
Oh, my hopes have deflated immediately. I'm going to have to go with Rick Grenell then. No, Kirsch, you're sure about that?
Yeah, I'll support Rick Grenell. I worked with him in Nevada as part of the president's non-Kraken-related defense team.
The non-Kraken people, right?
We did not release any Krakens. We just, you know, practiced law and came up against the huge problems that anybody faces in challenging an election result. And it shouldn't be easy to challenge it. It's very hard, but we found a lot of things that were very, very disturbing. And he was a great leader, and I was, he's the civilian equivalent of a Ranger.
So the second question is, why Cotton? Why are they invested in bleeding Cotton, although it didn't work?
I think that they, right now, the main focus of the Democrat Party seems to be not generating great policies and bringing the country together to work for a brighter future, but to attempt to kneecap as many potential candidates for 2024 as humanly possible. They're trying to take out the president through this bizarre impeachment that still has me scratching my head, both in form and substance. And, they think they've got Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz because they were committing insurrection. Yeah, okay. All right, whatever. Tom Cotton, of course, did not object to the electors, so they're looking for something else. And, oh, yeah, the guy who went to Baghdad with the 101st Airborne and a Ranger tap wasn't really what he said he was, even when he was getting shot at by a bunch of Shia and Sunni militiamen. Yeah, okay.
So they're afraid of Cotton.
They are afraid of Cotton, and they're attempting to clear the chessboard, frankly, through not particularly honorable means. It's kind of pathetic, and I don't think it's going to work with Tom Cotton. Tom Cotton called in counter battery fire, as we might say, and he's been making the rubble bounce. This guy's been pretty thoroughly humiliated for his lie, and he brought it on himself.
He will always be the reporter who tried to slander Tom Cotton and had to whimper away. That's what I like about it. I can't remember his name offhand because I don't have his story up. But the salon guy who tried to get Tom Cotton and insulted every Ranger in America, that's who he is.
Well, I'd never heard of the guy before. I don't think we'll be hearing from him since. I just know that the photo he chose in his avatar looks like Ron Jeremy's less successful brother. And the guy just doesn't have great judgment.
Kurt Schlichter, thank you for getting up early. I appreciate it, Colonel Kurt. You're sure you're not running in the recall?
I am so sure that I am not running in the recall. It is a absolute certainty.
All right. Broke some news this morning as well, because that list is going to be longer than the list of the people who want to replace Rob Portman in Ohio. Colonel Kurt Schlichter, thank you. Follow him on Twitter at Kurt Schlichter. He sits in for me sometimes when I'm not here, and I appreciate he gets up early when he's in California. I'll be right back on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. David Drucker joins me. That music always means that Drucker is in the Beltway and talking to me. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm great, Hugh. Good morning.
I have been talking with Kurt Schlichter about the now-dead Tom Cotton isn't a Ranger story. Did that ever make it to mainstream media, or did it stay in Salon's fever swamp?
I did not see it extend to anywhere beyond that. So maybe I missed something, but I noticed the story, thought it was a little odd.
Yeah. If you go to Ranger school, you're a Ranger. Yeah. Apparently, some civilians don't know that, and that's okay, except when they refuse to admit it. So, David, Rob Portman is stepping down. Pat Toomey is stepping down. It's supposed to be a great cycle for Republicans in 2022. A lot depends on what Team Biden does. I am just curious if you have heard a front runner to replace Portman.
Well, in Ohio, everybody's talking about the fact that if Jim Jordan wanted to run, he'd probably be the prohibitive favorite in a Republican primary. And I think in a state where Republicans are very supportive of President Trump, somebody like Jim Jordan, who is a big Trump ally and sort of reflects the sort of combative nature of the Republican base these days, would probably do very well. I think the question is whether or not Jim Jordan wants to give up a guaranteed House seat for a Senate race. And Senate races can always be a bit uncertain, even if you're running in what should be a good midterm year for Republicans. And he would have a primary, I'm sure, because these things don't come around that often. And you never know how that would go. So I think, you know, Jim Jordan's going to have to decide if he wants to be a U.S. Senator, which is a little bit different than the role he's carved out for himself in the House, and, you know, then decide if he wants to make the jump and go through with the work and some of the uncertainty.
Yeah, I think Jim Jordan would get the nomination if he ran. I just don't think he's going to run, but if he does, he gets the nomination. Jim Tressel would also get the nomination if he were to run. Urban Meyer is down in Jacksonville, so he's out of the picture now. When he was in Columbus a year ago, he would have gotten the nomination. But we've got Dolph Ziggler and J.D. Vance, a couple of non-traditional candidates. We got a half dozen congressmen. We got the Attorney General of Ohio, David Yost, who's a very good Attorney General, and the Lieutenant Governor, John Husted. There are a lot of people, right? But that's not the case.
Secretary of State Frank LaRose is another one that gets mentioned quite a bit as well.
I have a Hugh Hewitt test. If I've never heard of you, you can't possibly be running for Senate. And I have never heard of the Secretary of State in Ohio. And I am a Buckeye. I may go back, Dave. You know, I might, if I could get the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt to live in Warren, I might run for the Senate. And the odds on that are, they don't exist. That's because
Absolutely not.
They're never going to happen. So my next question is, we have a wealth of candidates in talent in Ohio. We look across the border at poor old Pennsylvania, where Pat Toomey's retiring. Is there anybody?
Well, I think that there are probably some congressmen who are looking at this. I think it's sort of a matter of which way the party wants to go, right? Because you could take the approach that we have to improve our performance in the Philadelphia collar counties that have drifted blue in the Trump era, or we say that, you know, Trump reinvigorated the Republican base and turned Pennsylvania into a true purple state, leaning red in many instances, and we're coming off of a few years of dissatisfaction with how a Democratic governor has handled the coronavirus. And therefore, we're going to go all in on the kind of Republican that would resemble President Trump. So I think that the party there has to make some decisions. You know, I think one thing that is happening with the Republican Party when you look at the retirements of Toomey and Portman in particular, which is odd when you're headed into a midterm year, you might think, where the party has a chance to win back the majority and exert some power again, is that they're trying to figure out whether they're a legislative party or a sort of a culturally combative media party. And I think members like Toomey and Portman that want to cut deals and legislate feel that there's less of an opportunity to do that. And it'll be
David, there's a human side, though.
If their replacements resemble them or resemble some of their colleagues in the House that have operated differently.
There is a human side, which is when you hit 65, Rob Portman and I are the same age, coming up on 65, you just don't want to work that hard anymore. I mean, you worked your whole life. You're just, why am I going to work that hard? And campaigning is the absolute worst freaking job in the world. I'll bet you Pat Toomey's sick of it, too. You really have to be in your 40s or your 30s to want to do that stuff.
Can't totally disagree with that.
Yeah, I think sometimes we overthink this. Sometimes you just say, hey, I'm 65. I've got 35 years to go. If I've got good genes, I'm going to take the last third off. Not me. David Drucker's a kid. He can't either. But we'll be right back. Dwayne wants to quit. He's only like 70. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.